Kay Fitz joins us today on the Lone Star Barn Burner Hockey Podcast to talk all things Dallas Stars. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Let's talk some hockey.
Hey, there he is.
Hello, hello.
How you doing, sir?
Under the weather, but that's fine.
Are we under the weather or are we just in the weather?
No, we're definitely under the weather today. Allergies are kicking my, you know what?
That's funny. I didn't realize you had a donkey.
Yeah, they're called the Dallas Stars.
Oh, shots fired. Why are you firing shots at the Stars, dude?
Oh, man. How do you go out and dominate a team like the New York Rangers? Come close to winning against, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights. You lose that in overtime. And then get stomped by a team like Calgary. Nothing against Calgary, but still. I don't understand it. I mean, all of this at home.
You know, I'm going to add to that. If I'm not mistaken, which I definitely can't remember fully, I think they had a 2-0 lead.
Yes. I think it was a 3-0 at one point.
Yeah, you're right. And then they slowly crept back in, and then the next thing you know, they're losing.
They allowed 5 unanswered goals.
5.
Holy. One was an open net, but still.
I mean, it still counts. And look, they beat them the first time they played Calgary, 4-3. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, just making sure. I didn't
just wetting my whistle. So it's a little dry.
I was really afraid that I closed the app because I was trying to do some, what do you call it, maintenance here, some upkeeping, trying to unchaosify myself. There you go. But they beat them by 1 goal the last time they played them.
Yep, and we got them again coming up.
Yeah, one after, what is it, the one after Winnipeg? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we've got Winnipeg tomorrow, and then we've got Calgary again on Thursday.
Dude, this is the kind of thing that really makes me...
Friday. Thursday. I'm sorry. It's a rough day. No, Thursday. I'm sorry. Thursday, the 28th and 30th. I lost a day there.
Somewhere. That's okay. Holidays in the middle of the week kind of get me too. I get a little bit confused for the remaining like 7 to 10 days after the holiday. My brain is just done. So, but yeah, that's the kind of thing that kind of makes me, I don't want to say cringe, but maybe grimace or wince, maybe, you know,
mm-hmm.
like when you just look at it and you go, ooh, and then you just scrunch your whole face up. It looks like you smelled something really bad. That's totally me right now. Here's the funny thing too, for those of y'all listening. This guy's known me almost my whole life. So he can probably picture the face that, well, young me is making.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, okay. So, Jake Oettinger hasn't had a stretch, to the best of my knowledge, of not even 2 games where he's had really bad games. You know what I mean? Like,
he just did.
Yeah, he did. But it's never been longer than 2 games. So, well, at least dating back to last season. So, I mean, that gives me hope that they can manage something. But here's the thing. Calgary is Calgary. Calgary is building momentum. You know, they're starting to build up wins, whatever you want to call it. And I see that kind of thrown in our face. Oh, Calgary's building up. They're trying to pull up on their winning streak of their own, trying to get out of the little dump that they're in. What the slump that they're in. I can't words either. So there you go. It doesn't matter. Like, Dallas could be the streak squashing team that we know they can be.
Right.
And they didn't. It's like they gave up on Calgary. I kid you not. It was 3-0 or 2-0 when I took a little break to get comfortable, shall we say, you know. And I was going to turn it back on and watch the rest of it, watch the game close out, I hoped. And then I turned it back on and they were down. What did I complain about? 5-4, I think it was. No.
Actually, I'm looking at the scoring right now. Actually, we were we were up 2-1 coming into the second period. Then they scored, and then we were up. We scored twice. Johnson and Pavelski scored. That's when Johnson went on hat trick watch because he scored our first goal. So we were actually up 4-2 at one point. Excuse me.
That's
and then they scored 5 unanswered goals.
See, and right around the time that Mr. Johnston went on hat trick watch, that's probably about the time where I said, okay, they're doing all right. I'm going to get to where I feel better watching this game. You know, and for those of y'all that don't know, yeah, I'm in a wheelchair. So I got out of my chair, turned on the TV, and was ready to go. But then they were down.
I don't know what happened. It's like a light switch. I mean, Ottinger went and lost the plot. I don't know. I can tell you one thing. Our rush defense is horrible this season.
How do I answer that? Yeah. You mean our back check?
What's that?
The back check.
I'm talking about when the opposing team is on a rush into our offensive zone.
I mean, I wasn't gonna say anything, but yeah. Their back check needs a lot of work. Their defensive side of things. Their forecheck is great. You know, when they can get some numbers, they go.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get
numbers, we're not even talking shorthanded. I'm talking just a regular when they have a rush coming at them.
Yeah.
It was 3-on-3 rush. And I believe that was when Coleman scored.
There was one rush, I think it was Coleman, that they looked like they had lead feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And let me tell you this, as close as the game was against Winnipeg the other time that they played them, the last time they played them, you can't do that against Winnipeg. You can't do
that. No, we barely beat Winnipeg the last time.
No, you're right. It's the same with Calgary, though. They barely beat them the last time they played them, too. And based on the last couple of games, I'm telling you, man, I'm probably going to tune out the Winnipeg game a little early.
Well, let's just break down the last 10 games. For Winnipeg, they're 8-2. 8-2-0.
In the last
10 games for the Stars, we are 5-4-1.
Ah, we're slumping a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Excuse me. 5-4-1. They were at the top of the standings. Now they're what, fifth?
Something like that.
Fifth in the West, third in the West. They, yeah, I don't know. Things might have changed by now, but I mean, yeah, the everything that I was excited about because of Winnipeg coming up just got thrown in the fire thanks to Calgary. No pun intended. Like I don't believe that they're gonna have it. I don't believe they're going to have what it takes to beat Winnipeg at all.
Yeah, especially, I mean, honestly, truly, we're pretty much neck and neck with Winnipeg right now. We're second. They're third in the West. Of course, Colorado's first. We were first. We've got 26 points right now in the season. Winnipeg's sitting at 26. So, yeah. And, of course, Colorado's sitting at 28, 2 points ahead of both those teams.
Hang on. So as we go through this downward spiral-ish, yes, that's exaggerated on purpose, guys. As we go through that little slump, Colorado only has 2 points on us?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they've hit their own little slump as well. However, they are on a three-game win streak coming out of their slump.
Well, here. Let me dump this on you, because I know you're about as passionate, if not more passionate, of a sports fan than me. It's still early in the season. A little slump right now is okay.
Yeah, a little slump right now is okay. The problem being is when a little slump is you're getting completely dominated on your home ice. That, you know, you're giving up 5 goals unanswered on your home ice. That's the problem. Winning, losing, okay. I understand sometimes the puck's in the bounce. You know, sometimes in overtime you're going to lose. It happens. Against the Golden Knights, you know, we held our own. It's a tough team. It's one of our rivalry teams. We know we're going to see them later on down the line again. So, you know, yeah, do we want to win? Yeah, I'd love to win those games. But, you know, you understand. Sometimes you lose something like that, but at least you didn't get dominated. And I'll be honest with you, if we were going to get dominated, I'd almost respect it more if it were the Golden Knights. But to get dominated by Calgary, and like I said, nothing against Calgary, but they're the fifth-ranked team in their division in the Pacific. You know, they're sitting at, right now, what, 8-10-3? You know, it's like how do we beat a team like the New York Rangers and dominate a team like the New York Rangers and then throw a goose egg out against the Calgary Flames? I don't understand it. The inconsistency is what bothers me.
Yeah. That's one thing they had last year that wasn't one of their bright spots, you know. I believe I spoke to you on many occasions last season off mic and been like, well, because they beat this guy and crapped out versus this team, you can probably expect the same effort for the following game. I believe I was right a few of those times. And, you know, it's one of the problems that they've had for years now is inconsistency I'll just go ahead and say it, playing up or down to the opponent. I feel like you said, being dominated by Vegas after what happened last season, there was a game where it was like, what, 6-2 Vegas?
Yeah.
Some mess like that. You would expect that against Vegas. Like, they dealt us a butt-whooping a couple times last year, and okay, cool, they're a good team. But Calgary?
Well, you know, here's what I'm looking at. You know, you've got the New York Rangers. They're sitting right now at 15-3-1, 31 points on the season. You've got the Golden Knights, they're sitting at 14-5-2 at 30 points on the season. We played both those teams pretty well. We dominated the New York Rangers. We held our own against the Knights. And then we come in against Calgary. Calgary's got 19 points. Once again, they're 8-10-3. And we play like garbage. I don't get it. And it wasn't like they were back-to-back games either. There was time in between those games.
You could say you knew it was coming, though, because, I mean, not to disrespect Winnipeg, because that's a pretty decent team as well. But they only beat Winnipeg by one goal.
Yeah, but that was a little earlier on. I mean, that was, what, on the 11th of November? The 11th of November. So it was earlier on in the month. You know, we were still kind of getting our footing, getting things figured out as a team. You would just think at this point you would start getting these pieces in place to where you could actually start dominating some of these teams that you should be dominating. and here's the thing that really kills me about this is Ottinger giving up that many goals. That's what really irks me. It's like, okay, I understand the team and all. And yes, you want your team to back up Ottinger. And no, I don't want to knock Ottinger because I still think he's got greatness in it. But I don't know. The other night, it just seemed like he was slow. He just wasn't. There were many a time. In fact, I'll be honest with you. It could have been a lot worse. There were a couple opportunities that Calgary had earlier on in the game where Ottinger was just out of position and lost track of the puck. And just because the shot was off, it didn't go in the net. But, you know, I don't know what was going on with him the other night.
Yeah, I've seen his little, dare I say, situation, I guess is the way you put it, being tossed around on social media. Is he hurt? Is he going through some stuff? Is he sick? What's the problem? And I've seen somebody that probably doesn't even watch the Stars go, well, maybe you should play Wedgwood because he's the better goalie.
Well, right now, yeah, I'd have to agree with it.
Okay, fair. But overall, Wedgwood is the better goalie? Yeah, right.
Oh, I wouldn't call it an overall thing, but as of right now, if we were looking on paper, he is.
Is it really?
I believe so.
Oh, shoot. Well, okay. So with that, what went wrong? Like, did the team quit on him? Did the team try to keep him afloat and then just crap out? Because
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. So here's some numbers for you right now comparing. Andre's 8-4-2. Wedgwood's 4-1-0. Okay, a little difference because Ottinger, of course, played more games.
Yeah.
Maybe you should rest Ottinger a little bit more instead of playing him so much.
That's fair, but when do you rest him?
I don't know. That's up for the coaching staff to figure out. I'm just saying, you know, he's playing almost twice as many games as, in fact, he is playing twice as many games as Wedgwood. I mean, I'm just saying, maybe you give him a couple nights rest. Give him a couple games rest. Let him get his head back to it, you know. I know he's not going to like something like that, but you know what? Sometimes we need a wake-up call.
Yeah. And, okay, let's take your wake-up call thing and run with it for a little bit. Do you bench somebody else and not just Otter?
And if I'm not mistaken, let me look here before I say something. Let me look at something real quick. We need the Jeopardy thing. Do, 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 do. let's see here. trying to find it. Trying to find out who was in goal against the Rangers. I think it was Wedgwood, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was. You're right.
Yeah, it was. It was Wedgwood. So Wedgwood was in goal against the Rangers and did phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, so it begs the question, is Ottinger the one in the slump, or is the whole team in a slump?
Well, I think it's kind of the whole team is in a slump, but I think Ottinger's dealing with something. I don't know what, but he's definitely dealing with something. He just doesn't seem as crisp as he usually is.
Which is crazy because the information is missing somewhere along the lines. Does the management even realize? Or is Ottinger keeping that on the DL? You know, is the management sure of it and just not saying anything? And why the heck are you playing him through it if he is injured? Wasn't Wedgwood ill?
Or was he injured? I'm not sure. You would probably know better than that. I don't follow it that closely, unfortunately.
I heard the announcer say that somebody was sick. I think it was Wedgwood. I'm not sure why. But, I mean, okay. Given that, well, here's the thing, to further his point a little bit more about resting Ottinger, look at what happened last season. If you had a fully rested Otter against Vegas.
Oh, it would have been a different series.
And that man played, what, 60-some-odd games last year?
Mm-hmm.
You guys, he might be showing it a little bit earlier this season because, well, I mean, now he's more accustomed to it. If that makes any sense. Like, you know what's going to come of you because you've already been through it. And it may just be a little too much for him right now. So, yeah, something does need to change, but I don't know what you would change at all.
Well, I know in the past, it's usually been Jake will play 3 or 4 or 5 games, and then Wedgwood will play 1. And then Jake will be back in there. Like I said, I don't know why you wouldn't, especially early on in the season. Like you said, we're a slump's not going to kill us.
No.
You know, throw Wedgwood in there for a couple games. Give Ottinger a couple nights of rest. Let his body heal a little. Let his mind heal a little.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, be fortunate that you have two goalies that can, you know, you have a backup goalie that can step in there and do that. And, you know, worst case scenario, you've also got Matt Murray in the wings that you could also bring up if you wanted to give both your goalies a rest later on in the season.
That's kind of what I've been saying all along. Like, I hope something happens to where Matt Murray breaks through, you know, because if last season is any indication where we just kind of crapped out against Vegas, again, no pun intended, somebody else needs to be able to suit up and just go.
Right.
Now look what happened to Otter when he first started. He first started because both Hedobin and Bishop were hurt. I mean, okay. Maybe there is something there in terms of injury and illness or whatever. Maybe there's not. But I think maybe you should bring up Matt Murray. You really should.
Well, in the case of Ottinger right now, it may not even be an injury. Look, everybody in a career gets to a point, and I'm just speaking, and anybody out there, you know, I don't care if you're a sports person, I don't care if you're a construction worker, a truck driver, whatever. In any career, you get to a point sometimes where, you know, even though, yeah, the game is different, each game is different, whatever, you get yourself into a sense of where your brain is just in, you know, lizard mode. You know, you're out there, you're going through the motions, but in all honesty, I mean, it's happened to me. In fact, you know, I'll be sitting there and someone will ask me about something that's happened, you know, a couple weeks ago. And I mean, my brain's just, you know what, everything just kind of melds together. And, you know, it just makes you realize maybe I need to take a vacation real quick and just take a break and let my brain kind of reset itself. And that's just because we're all humans. I mean, we're not machines. I know we want to, you know, act like these guys out there, but they are. These are human beings out there, and it happens. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, maybe that's what's going on with Jake. And like I said, it may not be a physical thing. He may not be physically injured, but mentally he may just be slightly, you know, checked out a little bit and just needs a break. And of course, you know, the competitor in him, he's not going to say anything like, I just need a mental break. He's wanting to be out there because that's the competitor in him. But sometimes maybe as a coaching staff, you have to take a step back and say, hey, look, you know, I'm not saying we got a couple easier games coming up, but we've got a, you know, couple games coming up against some not so great opponents. You know, they're not doing so great that season. Why not give, you know, Andre a break on those nights and let him rest and relax a little, and throw Wedgwood a bone, you know, let him have a couple nights.
I can't argue that. I'm sitting here thinking, look, Wedgwood could be a starter if we really needed him to, and, you know, in terms of, like, usually people say you have a 1A, 1B, which is a starter and a full-fledged backup. I think Wedgwood is honestly 1A, 2A to Jake.
I think he's got 1A, 2A, and then a 1B in the wings with Matt Murray.
Yeah. So there's really no reason why you should be riding Jake. You know, if you've got a fully capable goalie who is healthy and back to his old self, at least in terms of number-wise it looks like anyway, if he's fully capable of doing his thing, why aren't you playing 41 and 41?
I mean, Wedgwood's sitting right now at a .916 save percentage.
Ooh.
Which is slightly better than Ottinger's .911, and I'll be honest with you, we're coming up against you know, Winnipeg. That's actually better than both their goalies.
Is it really?
It is.
Holy moly. Wow. So I mean that proves the point right there, right? You know, you have a 1A and 2A goalie. Like, put Wedge in there. I don't know. I don't know what's going to fix this little slump they're in, or if it's even going to continue come tomorrow.
I don't know. All I know is that if this is the Stars of last year, I'd hate to be Winnipeg right now, because if you recall, last season, if they lost bad at home or lost bad, and then they went on the road, we were like the road warriors. We were dominating people on their home ice. So, you know, I'm just saying, this could be a blowout. It could be.
Could be a lot of fun, but you got to have all hands on deck for it.
True.
And I mean, I'm not going to sit there and blame Ottinger for the whole performance. Like, he did what he could. And regardless of how he's feeling, you know, he had his little hiccups. But in order to prevent the major hiccups, somebody's got to be there in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can blame Ottinger all you want, but everybody wins and loses as a team. He's not going to be the sole reason they lost. Well,
oh, no. No, I never said he was a side. Like I said from the get-go, this is a team slump.
Right.
And like I said, the only thing that concerns me is Ottinger giving up that many goals, because we've had team slumps in the past where Ottinger has kept us in game.
Yeah.
Because of his play.
Yeah.
And like I said, what the only thing that concerns me is that it just seems like, and watching the other night, it really did seem like Ottinger was someplace else. And I'm nothing against him. It happens.
Yeah.
We're going to have our off games. But it just seemed like the other night, there was at least one or two chances for Calgary to score. And the only reason they didn't score was because it either hit a post or went just over the net, or Ottinger was able to get to the puck before it actually slid, you know, into the net.
Mm-hmm. And,
but those times, Ottinger was completely, you know, out of position, and at one point completely lost sight of the puck. That doesn't usually happen with Ottinger.
No, it doesn't.
He is pretty cerebral. And so, like I said, that's what concerns me. I'm not putting any of the blame on him.
No, you're not, but others are.
It's a team issue, and the team needs to get it figured out, because not only that, but Andrew shouldn't be put in those type of positions.
Right.
You know, and it just seems like when we were up 4-2, it's like we took our foot off the gas.
Right, we did.
It's like we just went into cruise control. And I don't understand what's going on with this team. This team really needs to, and they had the same issue last season, though. They need to figure out a killer instinct. They need to figure out when they get teams down, they need to keep them down and stop playing this safe game.
Let me throw this at you, too, because I'm curious what your take is on it. I have my opinion. If you want to know it, I'll tell you after you give yours. But, you know, the football thing, they say don't run up the score. Let me ask you this. Hockey is a one-point game. Anytime you score, it's only 1 point. Is there a such thing as running up the score in hockey?
Okay, here's my take. Don't run up the score. Okay, well, don't let me run up the score.
Huh?
You know, I'm not a believer in that, because you know what? What are you supposed to do? Just hand the ball over? I'm a competitive person. I'm competitive by nature. If you have the opportunity to run the score up, run the score up. I don't find anything wrong with that. You know, sometimes you have to score because guess what? It's just available. It's just there. So you're telling me that you're going to take an elite quarterback, an elite wide receiver, and that wide receiver's going to be open in the end zone, and the quarterback's going to just overthrow him on purpose because, well, we don't want to run the score up? No. No. And a running back. Let's say a running back breaks free. Is he supposed to stop at the 2-yard line, kneel down, and wait for someone to come up and touch him because we don't want to run the score up? No. If you don't want the score run up on you, then don't let me run the score up. Same plays in the hockey. I don't believe there is such a thing as running the score. I had a blast watching them do it to the Rangers. It killed me watching Calgary do it to us, and I guarantee the Calgary fans certainly didn't have an issue with it.
Right.
No, absolutely not. Calgary had the killer instinct that Dallas needed the other night, and they kept pouring it on and didn't stop. And when they saw blood in the water, they became like a shark and became frenzy and went after him. My hat to him, because that's what the Stars should have done. You know, when the Stars start getting where we're scoring goals after goal, and we need to keep that going. And for some reason, the Stars just seem to, okay, we've got a comfortable lead. Now let's just be played. Let's play defensive. And let me tell you, the worst defense in the NFL, it's called the prevent defense.
Mm-hmm.
Call it the prevent you from winning defense. So as most of you know that have maybe listened to this, and as I know you know, JJ, I am a Houston fan. I'm a Houston Oilers fan, and now I'm a Houston Texans fan. Well, back in the old Oilers days, we played against the Buffalo Bills, who went on to the Super Bowl that year. We were dominating the Bills. And when I say dominating, I mean, we were up something like 31-7. We wound up losing that game. And the main reason we lost that game, and we wound up firing our defensive coordinator, Jim Eddy, after it, was because we went to what was called the prevent defense against Jim Kelly and the Buffalo Bills at the time. Instead of blitzing them, we played this coverage where we gave them a wide berth. We were hoping we would play this bend, don't break defense, but you can't do that against an elite quarterback like Jim Kelly. And we lost that game. And it was, I don't know if it still stands as, but at the time, it was the biggest comeback in playoff history.
Ouch.
And I, when I tell you, that game hurt worse than when we lost the season before against Denver. That one hurt because we were winning. And honestly, truly, had we won that, I believe that was the year that the Cowboys went to the Super Bowl, we could have had, you know, an all-Texas Super Bowl. And, you know, of course, the next season we had Buddy Ryan as our defensive coordinator, and we were doing good there. And everybody was hoping for a Dallas-Houston Super Bowl that year, and unfortunately it didn't happen. We wound up losing. Anyway, well, the short of it is, when you play defensively, when you have a lead and you start playing defensively, you know, it's like one thing that drives me nuts is when you see these teams that'll get up and all of a sudden it's like they go away from their game plan and they start trying to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand. Use the run instead of pass. But don't run, punt. You keep punting it because you have this comfortable lead, and then they start dwindling that lead down. Now all of a sudden you're playing catch-up.
Well,
yep. If you kept your foot on the gas, you're not playing catch-up. Same in hockey. The Stars get a comfortable lead, you know, 2 or 3 goal lead, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, let's take our foot off the gas and let's start going into cruise control and hope we pull a win out.
And they do that by, to go ahead and transition it fully to hockey, they do it with the dump and chase. Oh, we're going to fling it in here from the line, and then we're going to chase it.
Right. And I
go get it. Say again?
I hate that. I hate watching it.
And here's another thing to kind of put the defensive aspect of hockey under the microscope. Hitting, you could argue, is part of the defensive strategy. You knock somebody off the puck, you go get the puck, you start a rush. Do you know how many hits the Stars had against Calgary? This is going to blow you away.
No, I didn't look at that stat.
You ready to hear it?
Please enlighten me. I'm sure it's low.
They only hit Calgary 12 times. How many hits do you think Calgary had against us?
Yeah, I'm probably going to say probably double that.
You're almost exactly right. They had 21 hits against us. 21.
As a coaching staff, you should be able to look at that and say, fellas, there's a problem here.
How do you only have 12 hits when you're up? We'll go back to the 4-2. You're up 4-2 and you finish the game with 12 hits. You tell me that's not cruise control, and I will freaking write you a college essay and tell you why it is cruise control. 12 hits.
Yeah. And you know what, here's another statistic for you. It's a shame. You know, we were pretty even on shots on goal. The Stars had 28 against Calgary, and Calgary had 27.
So we outshot Calgary, too.
We actually outshot them, and we still lost by that large of a margin. It just tells me that we're not taking quality shots. Like, we're just shooting to shoot.
Okay. Since we're going to go there, here's the thing. If you're passing it around too much and you're looking for that sweet little shot that is highlight reel ready by ESPN, man, you're not always going to score. So, yeah, they need to shoot everything. But against Calgary, you know, they have a tendency to, I mean, they did. They attacked the puck. And instead of us closing them in front of their net and in front of their goalie, they pushed us out. It was like, if you watch them, okay. For lack of a better way of putting it, when the Stars were in the zone, Calgary looked like a pentagon type shape.
Yeah.
There was two guys around the net, three in front. And they pushed that pentagon outwards. What we should have did is close it in on them. So, I mean, yeah, it would have taken the QTUT passes there. But you also have to get them out of position because Calgary's good.
Yeah.
I mean, if they were a bad team, would they even be in the NHL? No.
No.
So, judging from what I saw, they were pushing back on us more than we were pushing forward. And, you know, the one thing they did do well was funneling the puck into the net. At all costs, you know, just bang a shot out. Because if you get there and get pretty with it, man, they're just going to push you out. Winnipeg's going to do the exact same thing. They're going to go in front of the net, two people, and they're going to push three probably against our forecheck. And, you know, they've got to find a happy medium between, you know, doing the pretty passes and pretty shots and just kind of rifling it in there. You got to send the goalie scrambling too now and again. So where do you find that balance? I'm not saying you're wrong, but where's the balance in there?
I don't know. I think the Stars are taking too many outside of the zone shots.
Yeah.
Instead of forcing it, you know, they're not forcing the goalie to play forward out of the net. You know, it's like a lot of their shots are from outside, and it just seems like I said, sometimes it's their errant shots. They're not. It's not like it's a shot designed to score a goal. It's more of a shot to just have a shot.
Yeah, I get you.
And, you know, they need to put themselves in better positions, honestly, truly. I hate to say it, and I don't mean to make this sound wrong, but the team needs to go and watch some of Wyatt Johnson's goals and learn from that and see how creative he is in his goals. Because this young man has 9 goals on the season. Him and Pavelski both have 9.
Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that. And, you know, his goals are just smooth and creative and, you know, come out of nowhere.
Dude, his stick work. You would think he was a pro for about 10 years now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, he is definitely lighting things on fire this season. You know, he's already got, 16 points. He's got 9 goals, 7 assists. You know, Pavelski's got 9 goals, 10 assists, so he's got 19 points because he's got more assists. But still, just for a sophomore season to be leading, you know, tied for the lead in the team in goals, I mean, that's saying something.
That's crazy. Look, in Calgary, trying to bust out of the little slump of their own, you know, trying to get back to even 500. Okay, cool. Wyatt Johnston, you could argue, was the whole freaking offense.
Oh, yeah, he was out there. I mean, got the first goal, got a goal in the second. Of course, we were on, you know, hat trick watch.
Dude, he was hungry for the puck, is what I'm saying. He wasn't exactly the full offense, but that man knows what to do with that little piece of rubber. That's crazy.
You know, he reminds me a lot of, like, a young Mike Modano. You watch Mike Modano and his stick work and his creativity. Like, seriously. He reminds me of a young Mike Modano. The other night when I saw him, when he scored that second goal, I was like, damn, that looked like a Modano goal. To me, it did.
I mean, that just goes to show you that he can score in any part of the net he wants, pretty much.
Well, it just tells me that he may be the next big thing in this for this team. I mean, really and truly. When his career is over, we may be putting a statue of him up next to the Madonna one.
Yeah, that wouldn't bother me a single bit. I absolutely love the kid.
You know, he's one of the shining spots on this team. I mean, you know, I love Robo for the things he's done the last two seasons, and he's doing really well this season too. So I don't want to take anything away from him. Of course, Rope Hintz. Robo's getting all the attention, so what normally happens is Hintz's numbers go up. So, of course, Hintz is sitting at 8 goals. Robo's sitting at, what, 6, I believe? Where is Robo? Oh, there he is. Yeah, 6 goals. However, like I said, usually what will happen is Robo's assists will go way up because he's, you know, on the assists with Rope.
Yeah.
So, of course, Pence has 8 goals and Robertson's got 12 assists, you know, and those assists are going to usually either Hintz or Seguin, so.
Ben Johnston Dodonov, that line, oh boy. And Johnston is the king of that line. I'll say it.
Yeah.
I will say it. I will back it up, too, if you want to at me on Twitter or whatever.
I mean, you've got Johnston with 9 goals. You got Dodonov with 4. And then you got Ben with 4. I mean, right there.
How many assists do the other two have? Not Johnston, the other two.
Dodonov has 4 assists right now. Ben has 11.
11. Okay, so that line feeds each other, or they feed Wyatt, one or the other.
Right.
I guess it depends on the game, to be perfectly honest with you. Which, I mean, duh. Wow. Okay, so what that tells me is the obvious. We have 3 scoring lines. And it further confuses the living daylights out of me. How did you let Calgary back in, and why did you lose to them? I don't know. I mean, it almost has to be strategy, to be honest with you. If it's not Jake, and it very well might not be, he might have just had an off game. People have off games. We said that already. We beat that horse to the death. What the heck?
Well, I think our defensemen are kind of in a slump right now, too. Our defensemen haven't been playing as well as they were playing at the beginning of the season.
Oh, my gosh. I'm glad you said it, because I see people still blaming Suter and Hawk and Paw.
No.
Look, a great defense wouldn't even let that puck in on the goalie at all. So, I mean, if you look at the Detroit Red Wings of the world in the 90s and early 2000s, who else? Montreal Canadiens knows a little bit about that. You know, how many Stanley Cups do they have? Say again?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
They have a crap ton. We'll just say that. Chicago had a great defense at one point, but they won. I'll say they won the one of the last cups they won on great offense. You know, the point is they all played as a team, and if you had a defensive problem, you didn't know because the offense was just cooking up. So, like, Calgary is really messing with my head because the one game they played was only a one goal game, and then Calgary turned it around on us and just whooped our butt.
Right.
So, what's going to happen with Winnipeg? Like, is everybody going to be okay? Or what Jekyll and Hyde team are we going to get tomorrow?
I know, and that's the whole thing. If this is the start of last season, they're going to dominate this game.
I'm not buying it. And, you know, I'm probably a bigger Stars fan than any other team that I cheer for. Like, I'll watch a Dallas Cowboys game wearing Star stuff. I will go to a wedding or something wearing Star stuff. So, like, I'm not buying it. I don't know what to think of this game. I want to watch it, but I don't know if I'm going to give it more than one period. I don't believe it. I don't believe
it. I'm going to watch it.
Huh?
I'm going to watch it. I even watched the other debacle against Calgary the other night, even though I turned it off a couple of times, but I turned it back on because I was hopeful, even after hope faded. Actually, I did turn it off after they got that open net goal. I was like, that's it. I'm not watching. But it was pretty much a foregone conclusion. But, no, I mean, I'll watch it, and I'll be honest with you. In the slump that we're in right now, unless the coaching staff has really gotten to the team, I usually pick the Stars to win, and I'm actually going to pick Winnipeg to win this one. I think they win it. I think they win, I'm going to say 4-2.
4-2. More defensive breakdown?
I just, I don't know. Unless I see something different right now, I'm just, you know, like I said, I feel like unless they put Wedgwood in there and give Andre a break, if Andre's in there, I'm a little worried about him, you know, hope because, and it wasn't just this last game that he's been out of position. I mean, he's had a few games there where he's just not as crisp as he was last season. And I'm not sure what it is. And like I said, I'm not putting blame on him. It happens to us all. We all get burned out. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you just need that break. And, you know, maybe he just needs that break. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and call it for Winnipeg. I'm going to say Winnipeg wins 4-2.
If, and big if, we have the team leadership that this team deserves, I say we'll come out of this with another one-goal win. But you got to have all the guys with the A's and the C. You got to have all of them on the same page helping out whoever is in net. And you got to remind them exactly who they are and what role they have on the team, because that might be part of it too. Like, if Jamie Benn is the guy that's in charge of keeping them afloat, then by golly, he needs to take that role by the horns and give it a big old Texas-sized twist, because he's got the C and he needs to keep them afloat. I don't know how you keep them afloat besides getting on their behind, which, you know, military household, sometimes they actually get on your behind if you mess with the leadership, and sometimes it's deserved. The worst case scenario, if the Stars don't come out angry, I think Winnipeg's going to take this one too. And I have that bitter taste of that blowout in my mouth I'm gonna say they beat us 8-2 if we come out like we did against Calgary. And it's gonna be just about like that. We're gonna come out to a 2-0 lead, and then it's gonna be blown wide open, dude. That breaks my heart. And here's the thing. I'm not angry at the game. I'm not angry at the little slump they're in. I understand things happen. I've been in my own slump where, you know, I've gone to you even with real life things because I couldn't get out of my head. And there's other friends that I've gone to as well because I just couldn't get away from the slump. And I thought I was going to lose my mind, and all of a sudden things changed because, well, they changed at the right time. So, like, I understand the slump. I understand they're human. But I don't think they change things up until they decide they're going to. And if the dump and chase is any indication, that slump's going to be a while.
Yeah, they definitely need to get out of that.
I mean, they do it because they feel like they're faster than X team whenever that happens. I mean, I get it. And I also get that, well, if you play keep away, then that means you're going to keep it away. But it doesn't always work out that way. In fact, it's like you said. I mean, that's the closest thing to me to the prevent defenses you're going to get. Well, if we fling it down the ice, they have to go get it, and it burns the clock. Yeah, not when everybody's faster than you. And look, I know I'm stretching it, but, you know, I want to get this thing off my chest before you go. Look at what happened to Colorado. Okay, they were double shifting and double shifting and double shifting people. Mm-hmm. And they were able to do that. Right? Calgary and Colorado both knew what's going to wear down the Stars, and that's what they did. So you have to remember to play your game. If they dictate the pace, if they protect whoever's in net, and if they freaking hit somebody, it shouldn't be that hard to get the puck, right?
You would think so.
Look, I'm not sure who I would be afraid of for Winnipeg at all, because that's a very solid team. I'd be afraid of everybody that hit the ice, but all you have to do to negate that fear is hit somebody. Hit somebody. Get the puck. Keep the puck. Don't get cute with it. Funnel the puck on net. If you're in the zone and you can get a cute shot off, do it. But you have to learn to control the puck.
And if you get a lead, keep the heat on. Do not let up.
That's their biggest problem. They let up. You said it earlier. And here's the thing. Against a team like Winnipeg, and even, well, Calgary is a good example. If you let up against both of those, which, by the way, you didn't against New York. The Rangers, the one that I thought, huh?
No. And that Rangers game shows that they have that killer when they want it.
Yeah. The problem is, though, you have to want it. And no, you're not going to win 82 games. I'm aware of that.
Yeah, this isn't the video game, dude.
No, right. I'm fully aware, and I can't even win 82 games on a video game either. But, you know, you're the Dallas Stars. You know, you were top three at the very least in the standings for dang near the whole year. And that includes the NHL. Not just the Western Conference, but in the NHL. At one point, they were near the top.
Yeah, it was us in Boston.
Yeah. Whoa. I don't know. That's a tangent for another day. I cannot words. My brain is fried. I don't know what you got for me, man.
Like I said, hopefully we get the team that we know they can be, shows up at Winnipeg and they can pull out a win against Winnipeg and maybe get a win against Calgary in Calgary. I don't see it happening, but I hope it does. And I guess we'll just have to see what happens and we'll discuss it next week.
All right. Well, let me let you go on this point here. That killer instinct. Are they going to find it within the next two games? I'll say no.
I don't think they will, but we shall see.
That's the perfect way to end it right here, man, because that leaves you guys in Victory Green, not that you'll hear this, prove us wrong. Please prove us wrong. All right. That's all I can say about it.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and we will catch this up again next week. Go Stars.
Go Stars. Thank you again for your time, brother man.
Yes, sir.
All right. See you next week.